Hello and welcome to another episode of From God to Us. In our continual journey through the New Testament, we covered 2 John and 3 John, little short letters, in our last episode. And today we come to the little book of Jude, which is the second to the last letter or book in our New Testaments. We look at the book of Jude and we may state the theme this way. Jude writes to believers to encourage them to contend for the faith, to warn them concerning those who abuse grace and teach false doctrines, and to encourage them to remain faithful by building themselves up in their faith. The letter was written by Jude, who we believe was the brother of James, and the half-brother of Jesus. Remember, Jesus did have other siblings. We call them half-brothers or half-sisters because Jesus did not have an earthly father. Joseph was not his real father. God was his father. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But then Mary and Joseph had other children, and he had other brothers, and Jude and James were one of those brothers, and we believe that are two of those brothers, and Jude is one of those who is now writing this book. He's writing generally to all believers, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. So there's no specific audience that we know of that he's writing to. We can't determine the exact recipients. It's just he's writing concerning faithfulness for believers. He originally wanted to write about salvation, he says, but he felt the need to encourage them to contend for the faith, which is a phrase he offers in the very beginning. Apostasy has been present in the church since its beginning. Jude writes to warn believers regarding those who come into the church and are teaching false doctrine. He compares them to several biblical and non-biblical examples of godless people. Now in this book, Jude makes reference to two what we call non-canonical books, one called The Assumption of Moses and the other The Book of Enoch. These books have been considered part of the what we call pseudepigraphal writings. And that simply means they are books professing biblical authority, but not accepted as scripture. Though John refers to these two books, he's not necessarily affirming their complete authority. There may have been portions of these books that were true, but they were not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Thus, this is why they're not considered part of the New Testament or the Old Testament canon. And so we have to address those issues of these two books. So he makes reference to these two books, but we believe the part that he's referring to is truth and thus is applicable to what he's teaching. There are two main themes, again, to contend for the faith. Jude is encouraging believers to remain faithful to God's truth in the face of those who have come into the church and are teaching false doctrines and causing division. They must hold firm to the truth and build themselves up in the most holy faith, remaining in God's love. So again, this theme of love and remaining faithful as opposed to false teaching again kind of arises. So evidently at this time, in the church, again, there was a lot of false teaching coming around, apostasy, these things. And so the false teachers are coming into the churches, and Jude is writing against that. So there the theme would be apostasy or false teachers. There are those who pervert God's truth and lead believers astray. Jude does not address any specific doctrine, but gives an example of those who are false teachers. He warns against those who abuse God's grace to promote sexual immorality as acceptable behavior. He warns against those who abusively speak about things they do not understand. These people have the reasoning of animals, he says, which animals don't really reason. They don't have good reasoning. They're like Cain and Balaam and those of Korah's rebellion. All these are examples of people who have not only rejected God's truth, but rebelled against God. These men will eventually be judged for their actions. So, and he also warns against those who are always finding fault and are proud, arrogant individuals regarding what they think they know. They use flattery to take advantage of other people. So this is the big picture overview of the little book of Jude. And with that in mind, we'll turn to the text itself. In verse 1, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about salvation, the salvation we share, I felt I had to write to urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men, whose condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of God into a license for immorality and denied Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. So the word here, he says, to contend for the faith means to earnestly contend or to struggle or to fight, that you continue the fight of faith. In other words, we have to, it's a struggle sometimes to continue to be faithful in light of everything that's going on in the world around us, especially those who come in, smooth-talking people who have doctrines that aren't true. We must hold firm to the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And he specifically mentions those who, he says, they've slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality. Paul addressed this in Romans. Remember, he said, we are free. We have freedom in Christ, but don't use your freedom as an excuse for sin. Well, that's exactly what these people are doing. We have grace. We can live kind of however we want. It's all right if you engage in sex outside of marriage. God wants you to be happy. And so this is the type of thing we're even hearing today. It's okay if people just live together for a while and don't get married because, you know, they'll have to find out if they really are compatible with one another. These type of things are even being taught in the church today. And he says, these are godless men. They've changed the grace of God into a license for sin. And so he's warning against these type of teachings because they deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Jesus is sovereign over everything. He is God himself, and he is our Lord. And they're denying submission to Jesus as our Lord. Again, he's saying, watch out for these people. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their home, these he has kept in darkness, bound in everlasting chains for the day of judgment. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. So he gives a couple examples here. He said, God delivered his people, but those who didn't remain faithful, who rebelled against him, he judged them. He talks about the angels who abandoned their own home. Now, we're not really sure who these angels are, but there were some who are reserved for the great day of judgment. We do believe there are some angels who have fallen and are now demons, but there's some who are specially sinned in some way and are held until the day of judgment. And he speaks of Sodom and Gomorrah, who turned over to all types of sexual immorality and perversion. If you remember that story, the men were trying to force the angels who were visiting Lot to bring them out so they could have sex with them. They were trying to force this. This is how far the perversion had gone in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God burned them up, and he says, this is an example of those who will be condemned ultimately in the end and experience an everlasting punishment by fire, which is a terrible thought to think about, that there is a judgment coming. We'll see this at the end of Revelation called the Great White Throne Judgment, where all those who aren't written in the Book of Life are cast into the lake of fire that burns forever. Verse 8, in the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. So he makes a reference here to Michael, and who's disputing over the body of Moses. This is the section that comes out of the book called The Assumption of Moses. And evidently, God did not allow Moses to go into the promised land, and God actually buried him. And so evidently there was some sort of dispute over his body with Michael and Satan. But he says, Michael didn't even slander Satan. He just said, the Lord rebuke you. But these people are speaking very slanderously about things they don't even understand. He says, celestial beings against angels. They don't even know what they're talking about. Yet they're speaking boldly and slanderously and making all kind of accusations. Friends, there's people today that don't have any idea what they're talking about, but they speak with some kind of authority. They think they have figured things out, but they really don't know what they're talking about. And the only way for some of us to make sure we're not following these false teachers is that we know the truth. As we said in 2 John and 3 John, we must know the truth. So when these people come and are speaking almost seemingly with authority, but they're not speaking truth, then we need to be able to recognize that. These people, he says, woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for the prophet of Balaam's error, and they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. So he's using examples from the Old Testament of people who totally turned away from God and begin to do that which was false. Cain, who murdered his brother. Balaam, who was going to curse the children of Israel, but God corrected his error. And those in Korah's rebellion, those who have rebelled against God and his truth. So he's saying this is their way. They have actually rebelled against God's word and his truth. These men are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever. So he's just kind of giving some metaphors of these people, shepherds who feed only on themselves. You know, in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, God warned against the leaders of Israel who were supposed to be the shepherds and caring and leading the body. They were false shepherds, and he spoke against them. So there's these people who should be feeding and teaching and leading others according to the truth of the word of God, but they're only feeding themselves. They're only exalting themselves. Calls them clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, and waves of the sea, they're just foaming with shame. So these are metaphors he used to describe these people that don't know what they're talking about. They're teaching false doctrine. There's people we should not listen to. Be careful about these false teachers. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts that they have done in the ungodly way, and all the harsh words of ungodly sinners have spoken against him. God is going to judge these people. He's going to bring his angels. He's going to judge the people. Jesus talked about the end of the age when he would return and God would send his angels out together in the wheat and the tares would be thrown and burned. So it's kind of a similar thing, I think, is what he's talking about and what Enoch mentions here in his book. Again, the book of Enoch was not considered a canonical book. It was not all considered to be inspired, but this portion seems to agree with other portions of Scripture, so Jude is quoting it here. These men are grumblers and false finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. These people are causing problems in the church. They're not following truth. They're following their own desires. They're boastful. They're bragging. They try to flatter people to get them to come along with them. They're just false teachers that are coming into the church. Again, We can see this today. If you know the doctrine of the scriptures, if you know the truth, you can see that there's people all over who are teaching these false doctrines. Some of these so-called evangelists we see on TV sometimes, they are not teaching truth. They're teaching false doctrines. Sometimes they'll mention the name of Jesus, but what they're teaching is clearly not in accordance with the scriptures. They pull verses out of context and twist them to make them say what they want the Bible to say. We have to be careful. That's why we need to know the truth of the Word of God. And then verse 17, he says, "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life." He's saying this should not be a surprise. People have warned, the apostles have warned about this, that there will be people who will rise. And in the last times, there will be more and more of these people. Scoffers, people who scoff against the truth of God, who scoff against Jesus Christ, who deny who he really is. They claim to know God, but they don't know God. And they're just following their own way, and they're dividing the church of Jesus Christ. But you remain faithful in the most holy faith. That means believing, trusting in what you know. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Begin to pray about these things. Keep a good, solid prayer life. Keep yourself in God's love. Again, here's the issue of love. Loving God and loving one another. These are important things that help protect us. So keep yourself firm in the faith before Jesus Christ. Verse 22, "Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating and even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." Be merciful to others. When he says snatch them from the fire and save them, he's talking about sharing the gospel with them, leading them to Christ, helping them come and know the truth. Continue to show mercy to people who need mercy and share the gospel, but hate that which is evil. "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all the ages, now and forevermore." So he closes with this great doxology of praise toward Jesus Christ. He is the one who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault with great joy. It is through Christ and through the power of Christ within us, through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, that we will be able to not fall away, and he will be able to present us before God without fault. It is his power that keeps us from falling. It's not just us. We're weak. We're sinful. We need Christ within us. We need his power. We need his presence. We need his truth. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us from falling so that we may be presented without fault in the end. Again, we'll not be without sin in this life, but we can live a holy, righteous life before God. And then to the only God, our Savior. There's only one Savior, my friend, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory. To him be majesty. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. To him be majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Jesus Christ is our only Savior. He is the one whom we exalt, whom we lift up, whom we praise, whom we worship. He has all authority over all things. He has authority even over these false teachers. He has authority over Satan and the demons. He has authority over everything. And ultimately, he will be the one who rules over everything. And ultimately, he will be the one who judges the lost at the end. And so we need to keep our focus on him, continue to worship and praise him, to give him the glory and honor that he deserves, because he alone is Lord. Well, friends, that's the little book of Jude. some important things here. Again, thinking about the false teachers, the false prophets, those who are not teaching true doctrine, who are just so wrapped up in themselves and they continue to focus on themselves rather than on the truth of God and who Jesus Christ is, those who deny Christ and try to get people to follow after them. There's all kind of people in the church that come into the church and try to do this. And so you need to pray for your leaders, whatever church you belong to, that they have the ability to see and to spot these false teachers, people who are just full of themselves and think they know everything, but yet they ultimately, in the end, will cause division in the church and will teach false doctrine. So good warnings here for the time that this book was written, good warnings for all time, especially today, as we continue to try to be faithful, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to proclaim his truth in this world. We want to be faithful to him, to contend for the faith, to fight earnestly for the faith, because it is a struggle. It's not always easy, because we always have opposition outside the church, and even inside the church, there's opposition to us to keep us from being faithful to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jude's warning here is, or his encouragement rather, is contend for the faith, continue to be faithful, focus on the truth, continue to exalt and praise our only Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, friends, that is the little book of Jude, a short book, but a powerful book. And I trust and pray again that God will continue to bless you as you read and study and apply his word.